And welcome to the Council's Connection Show. We are on here the first Wednesday of the month from 2 to 3pm. My name is Michael Goodrich from Yarra Rangers Council. I'm the Community Development Officer for the Upper Yarra. So it's all places from Wandering out to Powhatan up to Reefton and McMahon's Creek. Every month we have some guests on to talk about what's happening in the Upper Yarra and also with our council. So I have some great lineup today. I have Maureen here from the Millgrove Resident Action Group and Brett Else from Resilience Co. talking about some resilience projects happening in Millgrove. Next I have Charlie and Fionn from the Youth Advisory Group. And also lastly we have Rose from the Yarra Junction Library as well. But first off, welcome Maureen. How are you?
Michael, thanks for having me on.
Yeah, cheers, thank you. And so, the Millgrove Resident Action Group, if no one's heard of it, what is it and what do you do?
Lots.
Yeah.
We're a small group. I guess our committee's about 18, which is probably a good size for the valley. And we just do work for the community, within the community. We run markets. The third Saturday of the month, the fifth Sunday of the month, and the money we earn from that we mainly gift back to the community, to the schools, kinders, sporting groups. Then we have trivia on Monday nights, fourth Monday of the month. We cook a meal for that, and the numbers are down now since COVID, but prior to COVID we were cooking for around 40 people.
Yeah.
And now it's down to about 25, which is a little bit disappointing, but hopefully with the better weather it'll come back.
Yeah, things picking up soon.
Well, that's a bit of a fun night. We're now thinking about maybe running family games nights or something.
Yes, yeah.
That's just food for thought at this stage.
Yeah.
And finding the time to do it's another thing. We've developed the gardens in Millgrove.
Yeah, it's spectacular. If people drive through Millgrove, you'll see either side of that area. There's some beautiful gardens there maintained.
Yeah, we've got a great guy, Mick Corry, who does most of it. Then we've got another four guys maintain the river walks and highways.
Mm-hmm.
That's really good. And given Millgrove a really good sense of pride.
Absolutely.
Millgrove's been going for 17 years, which I think is one of the longest serving groups.
It is.
In the valley.
Absolutely.
I think we might be one of the only ones who donate back to the community.
Yeah, there's a few that do, but it definitely, the work you do is phenomenal.
Yeah, thank you. It's very rewarding.
Yes.
Millgrove, I think it was before 2005, we developed a community building initiative with Tammy Lobato.
Mm-hmm.
We had a nasty article went into the Age on Millgrove, and it was horrid. And we thought, we're better than this, so a few of us got together, and then Tammy read it in the papers, and from then we kicked on with Millgrove, and it was very... very degrading article.
Yeah, okay.
And it's taken us a long, long time to pick up. But I think on having the gardens, and that gives everybody
that sense of pride in place.
Sense of pride,
yeah.
So that's a really good thing. We did Pick My Project.
Yes.
That was a lot of work.
Yes.
To no advantage.
And a long journey.
Oh, wow. And when we were rejected from it, we were very, very disappointed. But then Sally Brennan came along, and she'd found a bucket of money somewhere. And we got granted for $192,000 to do a river walk.
Yes.
Which this Friday we meet with the contractor, and hopefully he'll turn some dirt on Monday, I'm hoping.
Oh, I think so. That's been a big... That was about 4 years ago project was first proposed. And, obviously going through multiple landholders in the Yarra, because this river walk is along the Yarra in Millgrove.
Mm.
So it's a, highly sensitive environmental area, so the planning and stuff takes a lot of effort and a lot of patience on the community side and resilience in regards to keeping with this project and not giving up and really having a strong voice to make sure this is important for the community.
We've got to thank COVID too, taking virtually 2 years out of our work. But never mind, we've remained very positive.
Yes.
And yeah, looks a bit of fruition as of Friday, I hope.
Yes.
Weather permission. Good. Yeah, weather conditions, I should say. Yeah, but, yeah, well, what else have we done?
And the Avenue of Honour as well.
Oh, yes, that was another quite a few years in development, but, yeah, it's turned out a really great project. And we've planted a new Avenue of Honour with Illawarra flame trees. So
yes,
once they burst into colour, will be magnificent.
Yeah.
And the other poor old Avenue of Honour is little pieces coming off it daily. Mm. Another piece has fallen off it today. It's very sad. But can't do too much about that. I guess we're lucky it stood as long as it has.
Yeah. The next project. Yeah.
And being right on the highway is a bit tricky. We can't do too much. Yeah.
Mm.
But the new one is moving along beautifully.
Yeah, absolutely.
Mm. Right on the edge of the rail trail, so
it's a gorgeous spot.
And
if we can walk past it, for visitors and for residents too.
Oh,
it's really
yes.
Important.
Yeah. It's a very important spot.
Yes.
We also do a dawn service for Anzac Day.
Yeah, which is amazing. I was there this year and it's incredible, the turnout for the dawn service and seeing all the community come along there.
Yeah, and that's a good hub for us too. We have a lot of people come and talk to us about what we're doing in Millgrove and they'd like to join and so forth. Yeah, so we pick up a few new members out of Anzac Day, which is great.
Fantastic.
Yeah, we do the dawn service and cook the sausages and bacon and egg along with the CFA.
Yes, it's a great partnership there.
Yeah, we have up to, 500 plus probably.
Yeah.
Anzac Day, which is great.
At dawn, which is incredible.
At dawn,
yes.
You wouldn't think it would.
Yeah, on a very cold morning.
Yeah, it's really good. But that's respect.
It is.
Yeah.
And it's a really family-friendly environment. So you see all the scouts there and a lot of children there as well with their families. Really friendly environment for the whole community.
Yeah, it really it's a great day.
Mm. Yeah.
If only we could have another few.
Yeah.
It'd be really good, yeah.
And Committee of Management?
Committee of Management?
For the Yarra is still working on that track.
And we're also going to approach DELP about managing the top part of the river.
Yes.
Which is really good. We haven't quite gotten there yet, but I don't think there's going to be any worries with that.
Yeah.
But, our committee with the river has been really, really great, very positive. We wanted to do it ourselves, the whole project, and join the community in.
Yes.
But it hasn't worked out that way. But, yeah, we've had a lot of help with the community. They're all very excited about it. So,
yeah,
it'll be a great thing.
It is phenomenal what Millgrove Resident Action Group do. Like, think of this as a volunteer group. No one is paid to do this work.
No.
But, well, like, you know, the monthly, the markets, and on the fifth Sunday as well, the trivia nights, all the donations, committee management for Yarra, which is on the Yarra in Millgrove as well.
Yeah.
Advocating for the trail, getting the funding for the trail, and then really pushing hard for it. Avenue of Honour, along with so many other things. It's incredible what you do for that community and really change Millgrove from, like you said, like, really interesting, like that, how an article like that, really, some negative news can really spur something phenomenal and some really great stuff that's coming out of that as well.
Thanks, Michael. Yeah.
Really good.
Yeah.
And you're not stopping.
No.
So this is also a new project you've been working with is this Resilience Project.
Yes.
Yeah, and I'd like to introduce now Brett from Resilience Co. Hello, Brett.
Hi, Michael. Hi, Maureen.
Hi, Brett.
How are you doing? And so nice, can you tell us a little bit about, Brett, what your work with the Resilience Co. and the Millgrove Resident Action Group, what you've done so far and what's come out of this?
Yeah, so just a little bit of background. So this is a project, it's part of a bigger nationwide project, and Millgrove happens to be the first cab off the rank or the first community to go through this process. But it's a program being funded by the Mindaroo Foundation, which is looking to lift the resilience of 50 communities around Australia around their risks associated with fire and flood. And obviously Millgrove and much of the Yarra Valley is in areas that are both high bushfire risk and there's those that follow the rivers, and some of those subsidiaries are obviously exposed to floods as well. So this project's been funded by them and supported by the Australian Institute for Disaster Resilience, and we're contracted in to give support.
Yeah, fantastic. And so you've gone on this journey for the last about 6 months now with the Millgrove Resident Action Group. So tell us a bit about why Millgrove to start off with?
So Millgrove, it probably goes back a little bit of time, but and it probably goes back, and I used to work for local government at Yarra Ranges, but there was a lot of research done on the back of Black Saturday bushfires, obviously, and there was some research done by the Department of Environment, Land, Water and Planning around communities that might be at a higher risk of bushfire, and obviously the whole Warburton sort of corridor came up fairly high on that list, as well as, you know, communities up in the Dandenongs and other parts up in the sort of north of Yarra Glen as well. So those Millgrove is one of those high risk communities from bushfire. So that was sort of the target that sort of led us to Millgrove, and then obviously it's got the river coming through, and there is a bit of a flood risk as well with Millgrove. So it's a project that probably started 6 months ago. We started to engage with community and also council, and started on a process of, you know, exploration around, you know, what are the risks, but what are also the challenges around that exposure to that risk, but then, you know, what we call some of the fundamentals in behind you know, community resilience. So, you know, how well connected is the community, and how much wisdom is within the community on past events. And so we've been exploring that, and then sort of reaching into other agencies or other communities to come and present and talk about their experiences in managing and dealing with you know, bushfire and floods as communities.
Yeah, interesting too. Like, obviously Millgrove is one of those high risk areas, but also it has amazing strength, like we spoke about with Millgrove as an action group, that are people on the ground, passionate, active, highly connected, who are actually there to work with you to then see, you know, have their voice seen around what they look as what could build resilience in this community, in this really local place as well, which is amazing to have that strength-based approach to resilience in this area.
Yeah, and it's been really fantastic with MRAG, so the Millgrove Residents Action Group. So they've been fantastic. So they've been getting together quite regularly and sort of unpacking what does this space look like. And there's sort of been no real, plan in some ways, but what we are is building a plan and a range of actions that will help with, you know, the community in building some, you know, further resilience. We're also looking at how we might be able to leverage outside support with funding and a whole range of other things that might come in and help with Millgrove community sort of achieve some of these resilience initiatives.
Yeah, thank you. And so, like, you've been meeting pretty much fortnightly for quite a while now. And so, Maureen, what's that journey been like as a resident and as a president for the Millgrove Resident Action Group?
It's very exciting, but a bit mind-boggling. So much to do, and so many ideas put forward. Mm-hmm. Then you've got to choose, you know, prioritise them. Mm. And some of them are really large projects.
Big dreams.
Big dreams, and I always say dream big. And I think that's how we got the river walk.
Absolutely.
Yeah, but a few smaller projects to do to keep the community involved and interested while we work on the larger projects. Mm-hmm. Hopefully we can achieve, you know, a few along the way and keep the community happy.
Yeah.
And, a little while ago they got very frustrated because we weren't achieving. We think that's perhaps a good thing, because out of frustration usually comes a bit of positivity.
Mm. Yeah, absolutely.
Mm.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. I think. Is that right, Brett?
Yeah, that is right. And it is a bit of a journey too. So it's not, there's no magic wand to this. So we can't just, you know, come down and wave the wand and suddenly everything's fixed. I think the challenge that, you know, communities like Millgrove face is that they are, you know, on the back, you know, or challenge is that they're, you know, on the footsteps of fairly significant fire risk, but at the same time, they're beautiful places. They are, you know, magical places that, you know, people do want to live in. And, you know, for 99% of the times, they're beautiful places, and it's just on those high-risk days when the weather is hot and the wind is up and, you know, we've had not much rain for a while, and we need to worry and have some plans in place, particularly around bushfire. But I think, you know, the storm events we've seen recently and the wind event that we had last night as well, you know, it just shows that it's not fire either. There's a whole range of things Mother Nature's a bit unhappy with us at the moment, and is going to continue to show her strength, and we just need to be resilient and have plans and processes in place. But most importantly, we need to be able to connect with our community and connect with our neighbours, because ultimately when we get ourselves caught in those situations, then it's those neighbours and your family and your friends that are local to you. They're going to be your, you know, the saviours and your support to get you through this.
Yeah, through those tough times as well. And so, are we ready today to give a bit of a teaser around some ideas that might have come through around this, around the projects that we might be curious about? And, you know, we've spoken for a while, and what are some of those ideas that have sort of flowed to the top? From this project,
the main one was the hydro power scheme.
Mm.
That would be huge.
And that was
the fire protection equipment.
Yeah.
Yep.
And that hydro was thinking about the Dee River.
Yeah.
So that there's a river that runs from the top of the aqueduct above Millgrove all the way down, links into the Yarra as well. So looking at that,
we walked it last Thursday.
Yes.
Yeah. And seem to find at this stage the best point is almost at the little crossing just below the aqueduct.
Yeah.
Yep. Got to do some testing and water volume and so forth on that as yet.
Yeah.
But that's
that's the think big one.
The big one. Mm.
Yeah. And there's precedence in Warburton for hydro as well. So there is hydro in Warburton, so it's not uncommon for the area as well.
So we're able to jump on the bandwagon of that a little, hopefully. Yep. And although totally different things. Then the other one is like fire protection equipment.
Mm-hmm.
Another big one. And then little things like fire prevention in the town, you know, like things that we can clear up and beautify the town again, but once again keep the community involved, helping us do that.
Mm-hmm.
The sawmill is a bit of a worry to us,
mm-hmm.
Which is right opposite our refuge.
Yes, big footprint too.
Yeah, that's right, yeah. So we've got a great refuge in Millgrove, which is a great adventure. We hold around 300 people,
mm-hmm.
so that hopefully is never used.
Yes, but it's there.
It's there, I can't remember the smaller ones. I only looked at
some
the big
community
picture.
Garden as well. As
yes, community
ideas.
Garden. Yeah, yeah, we looked at that for on the entry into Millgrove, but also in a little park in off Mackenzie King Drive, but near the river, a little creek running through there.
Yeah.
Not a lot of sunshine in that, though, but anyhow, we could grow the winter veggies in there.
Yeah,
got a few people keen on that.
And so if people are listening today and they live in Millgrove or feel like they're connected to Millgrove, how can they reach out to the Millgrove Resident Action Group to be hear more, but also maybe if they want to be involved, what's the best way?
Well, we have a website, and Facebook. Facebook is Millgrove Residents Action Group, and we also have a website, which is info@mrag.net.au. Anybody who knows me can ring. My number's usually floating around out somewhere. the more people, you know, who are interested and would like to come on board with one of our projects, we would really appreciate it, because there's a lot of projects and we need quite a few people on board. But not everybody's interested in the same thing, so there's plenty of options out there that they could hop on board with.
So many options, like the River Reserve in regards to the footpath there. There's a market, there's the maintenance as well, and there's these new projects coming up as well. So many opportunities if you want to be involved in one little element, or you could be part of the community as well.
Helping us cook sausages at the market, you know, it'd be a great thing. But, any help would be amazing.
Mm.
Yeah. And we're a really friendly mob to get
on
with, aren't
we? Absolutely, yes. Great fun.
So it's been just a pleasure to be with MRAG.
Mm.
And I shouldn't talk about it because I get a bit emotional. I love it. It's great.
It's a really special place and a special community, and the tenant group yourself are just punching above your weight every time, like amazing what you achieve for such a small community.
We've got it, yeah. And it's like a very friendly, and I think that's what gets us there.
Yes.
Which is a good thing. Yep.
Yep. And all's welcome.
And, yeah, with Brett and Toby and Kate, they've been amazing help for us and guide us along the way.
Yeah.
Because it's a bit over our head at times. Thank you, Brett.
And so, yeah, please, if people are interested and want to hear more about it or keep in touch, go to Facebook page. Your page is actually fantastic. Some really great knowledge around local history as well. So it's a great place to page to follow if you're just curious as well, but also put in contact as well. So thank you so much, Maureen. Hopefully we'll come back again in a little time and see what our projects come out of this resilience project and get an update as well.
Be happy to. Thanks for having us.
Cheers.
Really great.
Thank you so much, Brett. And we'll have to come back soon when we got some more of those top projects and where we can see the actions coming from this resilience project.
That sounds great, and
I
look forward to it.
Beautiful. Thanks much. We're off to a song break now, and next we've got Charlie and from the Youth Action Group and Fionn as well.
Okay, here's Legs Electric with Tuesday Girl.
Welcome back to the Council's Connection Show on Yarra Valley FM. And now we have Charlie and Fionn from the Youth Advisory Group.
Hello, everyone. My name is Charlie and I am from the Yarra Rangers Youth Advisory Group here today with Fionn. I am currently 22 years old and I go by she, her pronouns.
Hello, everyone. I'm Fionn. I'm 16 and I go by he, him pronouns. So me and Charlie are from the Youth Advisor Group, or as we call it, the YAG. Where the YAG is a group of 17 of us from the ages of 13 all the way up to 25. And we share our opinions and knowledge with the council to give them a view on things from a younger perspective. We meet regularly every Wednesday and we go for about a year.
And today we want to talk about the impact of COVID for the different age groups. So from both our experiences and some of our peers, Fionn is 16 and I'm 22. COVID started hitting us when we were aged 13 and 20 respectively. So for Fionn, when he was just going into year 8, and for me when I was just out of high school. So to begin with, I'll ask Fionn, what is one of the biggest impacts you've had as a result of COVID?
Well, from the lockdowns that COVID brought us, sporting and all socialising through schools got shut down. All the competitions got shrunk down to 3 weeks when we were out of lockdown or completely turned off. And you couldn't see the friends you made during the competitions and during all the socialising events for almost 2 years.
Okay, and Fionn, what does that impact look like now for socialising?
Well, getting back into the swing of socialising like we used to is a lot harder now after being online for 2 years. And getting back into that natural rhythm of talking with your peers is a lot harder after doing school and work and everything stuck behind in your room by yourself.
Yep. And do you have a message for adults?
Well, just to be more open, and like at YAG we have hybrid options for our meetings. We can do them online and face-to-face at the same time, and those options work great because people who have been sick or can't make a meeting don't miss out and still do the work and still put their point in, and it's a great option that anyone could use. So Charlie, what is one of the biggest impacts you've had as a result of COVID?
Okay, so I'm coming from a little bit of a different perspective, but I'm currently in my 20s, and for people in my age group, there's a lot of instability in work and in school. So it's quite difficult. It's a bit of a weird space. People come into the end of their degrees, and they haven't had placement or industry experience, which if you haven't had placement or you haven't had industry experience, you're not allowed to actually graduate. So it means that we're kind of in this weird limbo land where we're not able to get a job within our chosen field, but we're also not wanting to go back into areas such as hospitality, which were once so insecure, particularly during lockdowns. So, yeah.
If you had one message for adults and just our whole community in the Yarra Rangers, what would it be?
So I guess one message I'd give for adults, particularly for the younger community that are coming up, is to give young people a chance. Young people are keen and they want to get in their field. So many people I know are working, studying, and or completing placement right now. So time management and working hard are issues you definitely don't have to worry about with us. And so thank you for hearing from us today. We're hoping to raise these issues and help bring more youth voice to council over the next year in our capacity at the Youth Advisory Group.
To hear more about the Youth Advisory Group, or YAG, just follow the Yarra Rangers Youth on Instagram and Facebook, or search for Youth Advisory Group on the council website.
Jeez, thank you so much, Charlie and Fionn. It's been so good to hear what that perspective is like. And like you're saying, that how old you are in the time and period like that, 2 years is such a huge chunk of your life. I always thought when I was in high school, when I was Fionn your age, 16, I was my volleyball with my life. And I'm trying to imagine what happened if that got shut down in my life and how I'd cope. And it would have just been...
Yeah, our volleyball did get shut down.
I'd be devastated. That was my life. And how do you deal with that? And that time period is so long. Like, all those opportunities are just there, that once off your life, you know, particularly for the work and for sport, that once off really period of your life to represent your team or that first job, and all of a sudden that's just taken away from you. It's just really hard to come out of that. I'm curious, what's been one thing for you, Fionn, that's really helped you get through those times where it's been really challenging?
Well, I was lucky enough that my first job came from a family business that I was friends with the owner, and it was a business in retail that was still open through all the lockdowns. Mm-hmm. So I was still able to get all the experience I would normally need. And I was lucky enough that I was still able to go out there. But I know many people my age just couldn't do anything. I've got friends that are 17 and 18 they're getting their first jobs now because they weren't able to 3 years ago.
Yeah, it's really interesting to say like that. That support around you, talking about, like, you know, Brett talking about resilience, that connection around community, and if you have that, you can get through some tough times. But if not, it's really hard. But for you, Charlie, what helped you get through some tough times?
Well, this kind of sounds really weird, but I like exercising, so I was definitely getting to the maximum when it was talking about 2 hour walks outside. Yes. I might have been doing 2 hours and 15, but let's not dwell on that too much. So yeah, I'm definitely like exercise. I think that helps definitely a lot mentally, and obviously physically, it's great as well. Which that does sound like a cliche, but I think it generally does help.
Yeah, absolutely. It's amazing how much getting outside, getting to nature and moving really can change your mental and physical well-being. That simple walk up on today, it seems so simple, but it can be so, so important. It really is. Well, thank you so much, both, for being today. And if people want to find out more about the Youth Advisory Group and what council doing in youth space, you can obviously go to the council website, just search youth, but definitely search out on the Facebook page, some great feeds and hearing what's happening in the area. It's a great work the team do. And like the Millbrook Rescue Action Group, the Youth Advisory Group, you're volunteers. You have a huge, busy life and you're there doing it as a volunteer. So when people think young people these days, the young people these days are passionate, committed and amazing people, especially you think of what you've gone through the last 2 years. So hats off to both of you and any young people that live in this area and going through this stuff and are still committed and passionate and really and doing some work in this area. It's just amazing to see. So thank you so much.
Thanks for having us.
Cheers, thank you. We're off to a song now, and then next we've got Rose from the Yarra Junction Library.
This is Sam Sarah with Subverts.
The sun's too freeze, 'cause everything shuts, even the weeds. Now I can hear the wind just disappear. And I see the way you hold your knife, close and tight, ready to bite. And I see the way you hold your life, close and tight, for the whole price. Honey, I don't need your $5 fees, so you better wrap yourself in years, 'cause time's quick, our clocks have lost their gears. I don't need you anything, and I see the way you hold your knife, close and tight, ready to bite. And I see the way you hold your life, close and tight, full of price. Whisper, we can't hear the honey. What's the damn hurt? Whisper, whisper.
And you're the on the Council's Connection show, and our last guest today is Rose from the Yarra Junction Library. Hi, Rose.
Hi, Michael. Great to be here representing Eastern Regional Libraries. So thank you for having me on the show today.
Yeah, pleasure. And you're joining us from live from the library.
Live from a very full Yarra Junction Library at the moment.
Yes. Yeah. I was curious today after the power outages from quite a few areas, thinking, oh, where would you go to find some power, find some warmth, and get cosy? And it's a library.
Yeah, this is the place. We are jam-packed, and we're from sort of 9 a.m. on the dot. There was people ready to go. We've got every corner filled with people. We've pulled in every table we could find and chairs so that we can have everybody still getting their work done for the day.
Yes. Because there's some hit and misses in the area around power outages, and the libraries are beyond just, you know, the, obviously the books and all the resources. They're just a really nice, safe place to be when you feel like you want to be somewhere that's not at home.
Absolutely, absolutely. They are really so much more than exactly what you're saying, places that have books. We do have books. We have a lot of books. Yes. And the books are fantastic, but we have got a lot more than, just the books here. We have DVDs, as you would know. In this area, not everybody has got streaming services due to whether or not it's just too expensive at the moment, or internet is just not reliable or doesn't exist at all in certain places. So we have a really big range of DVDs, which people love to get. We have audiobooks. We have internet, which is a really big one, having that internet and computers also available, quite a few computers available for people to use, printing, scanning, just a plethora of things that can be used in the library, and a lot of learning opportunities and programs so that people can actually come in and learn how to use those services, learn how to use their digital technologies as well. So there really is a lot. And of course, my area being the children's area, we have a lot. We have, you know, story times and children's programs and just a whole lot of fun in that space, really.
Yeah, you've got a really nice dedicated space off there to the kids area there, that's cozy little couches and amazing books for just to sit down and read inside or borrow. And you can sit outside that beautiful tree today, in a sunny day, and sit under the tree and read a book.
Yeah, absolutely. Beautiful space out there. We always like to put in nice weather, we like to put tables out there, and we do have a lot of people that can sit there for hours reading books, having their lunch, catching up. So it really is a lot more than, you know, it's just the library books, and it is a different space than what I think a lot of people remember as a young child. I remember being terrified of the library when I was little, because I just was going to definitely be in trouble for being a loud person, because I am. So coming back as an adult and discovering that the whole shh, you know, be quiet, don't make noise, don't be seen, don't be heard, it doesn't exist. It really doesn't. It's a really inclusive space. We've abolished late fees, which is a massive thing, because I think that scares people as well. So knowing that, you know, if your book comes back a bit late, we've taken that time to rethink our thinking, and it just means that you're enjoying it slowly or for a second time. So that's a good thing.
Yes, it is. It's an amazing choice by the Eastern Libraries to eradicate those fees and make sure people are, to be able to know that you're welcome back. And if it's late, that's okay. You bring it back and you can get another one.
Yeah, that's a really big one. A lot of people comment on that. They sort of come sheepishly to the desk saying, oh, this one's late and I'm really worried. And when we say, oh, the fees are gone, this relief just comes over their entire body. Yeah, it's really fantastic.
And you've got a few things coming up this month as well that are happening at the libraries.
We do have a few things. We have quite a few things. It's really exciting. August is a big jam-packed month. So in at Yarra Junction Library, we have got National Science Week from the 13th to the 21st of August. We're going to have decorations and story times all around science. We're having experiments on Thursday the 18th of the 8th. This is a booked event. It's an after-school event. So if there's parents out there listening or kids that are interested in that, that's for ages from 6 to 12 years, and there'll be a few fun experiments. We run straight into book week after that, so that's the 20th to the 26th of August, and again, we will be doing a quick turnaround with big decorations and a whole lot of fun with story times and some scavenger hunts around the library. Then we roll into a few things that are not on the kids' side. We have a free vaccination clinic tomorrow. Mm-hmm. We have Yarra Valley Planters have a special guest speaker, Peter Vekin, who is the president of Permaculture Yarra Valley, and he'll be here next Monday.
Yes.
Family History Month in August. So we've got digitising documents. We've got introduction to family history. So many things on here at Yarra Junction. I've got to give a shout out to our other libraries in the Yarra Ranges area. So Healesville have a hot soup kitchen on the 11th. There's two sittings, and Shani over there is working on that, and she does an incredible job making beautiful soup lunches. Mm. There's digital technology events there too with managing your files. There is the Moonlander Challenge for Science Week on the 15th of the 8th. So, again, book in for these events, have a bit of a look. Human Library, Last Writers Group, there's so much. Lilydale has got a tech event to show people how to use their food delivery apps in August, and also a jam-packed program for Science Week, along with Belgrave having a jam-packed week for Science Week and Book Week, sorry. So look, my best advice is go to yourlibrary.com.au and check out our events pages. You can look at Yarra Junction specifically, Healesville, Lilydale, Belgrave, or any of our other libraries. We're on Instagram, we're on Facebook and Twitter, all under Eastern Regional Libraries. And honestly, I'd say get on there to your listeners and have a look at what's on. A lot of those events are booked in, so you do want to jump on and actually book yourself in. If you haven't got a library card, you can pop into one of our libraries and we'd be happy to help you. And if you don't, you can give us a call and we'll still book you in for those events. But, you know, come along. Your library, it's a place you can really imagine and discover and create. It's friendly and safe and a supportive place that's not just about books. Mm. We're fine free. We have free community programs and events all the time. I mean, weekly we have these events. So come in and check out one of our six locations in the Yarra Ranges.
Yeah, and if people are feeling a bit old school, you can still go in and get a hard copies of your programs as well.
Absolutely. We print out everything that we have going on because we do know that we are taking care of such a diverse and broad community here. Mm. And so we really do try to cover everything that we can. I think that's probably one of the reasons why I love working here so much is actually being part of an organisation and part of working in a place where there is so much emphasis on providing really great services to the community for free or as close to free as we possibly can get.
I can hear that passion in your voice. I'm curious, what's one of the greatest things for you working at the libraries?
I definitely say the positive impact of our work and the programs in the community. For me, in the children's spaces, it's seeing parenting groups come together, mothers, fathers, grandparents, family day carers, all different types of carers coming in and making connections with each other, especially after so long of not being able to go out. You know, you've got entire, like, beginning generations of kids that haven't been out there in the world. They haven't been interacting. They haven't been at the library. Mm. So, and their parents haven't had that, or carers haven't had that opportunity to make connections with other people. So seeing that is fantastic. Being part of their development and introduction to books and reading is really exciting. Seeing growth and confidence in people across our communities, whether they're young or old, just learning to use the digital technologies in ways that they didn't think that they possibly could, and then seeing them come back in and being confident to jump on the computers and sign themselves in and use the printing, it really makes you feel a value in what you're doing. And that, you know, a day like today is the greatest example. Seeing so many people after big storms come in and say, I'm cold, I haven't had a shower because I haven't got hot water, I haven't got power, and they can come in here and sit down and, you know, have a cup of tea next to their computer, and that's okay because this is the kind of space we're providing. That today's the kind of day that I think I have made the best move moving into working in the libraries at Eastern Regional Libraries. That's the moments.
Yeah, it truly is amazing to have that. Two beautiful places in the valley as well, Yarra Junction and here as well, both beautiful spaces. And so please, if you haven't gone down, go visit them. They're an amazing place to visit. Say g'day to Rose at Yarra Junction as well. And enjoy your library. So again, if you want to find out more, go to yourlibrary.com.au to find out all things happening in the libraries, or just pop in and have a chat to somebody at the library as well.
Yeah, please come in and see us. We want to know you.
Thank you so much, Rose. I'm looking forward to hearing Vinny's into next month as well.
Beautiful. Thank you for having me today.
Cheers. Bye.
And everybody stay safe.
And a few little updates as well on the council side. We have a few advisory committees having promoting for people who would like to be part of them. So we have the Health and Wellbeing Advisory Committee, and the purpose then is to be a voice to council for people who are interested in community health and wellbeing, assisting council in collective process and providing feedback around council processes, policies, and supporting council's decision making. It's a 12-month commitment. So if you are passionate about health and wellbeing and like to advise council around how we can support the community's health and wellbeing, the advisory committee might be for you. There's also the Disability Advisory Committee. So that's somebody who is, if you are a person with a disability, you're a representative of a service provider for people with disabilities, you're an unpaid carer or person with disability, this could be for you. We want to hear about your experience and your viewpoints and advise council how they can provide access and inclusion at the front of the centre of our decision-making process throughout council as well. So if those two committees are of your interest and you'd like to have your voice and share your voice for your community, just go to the council website and search Disability Advisory Committee or the Health and Wellbeing Committee, and you'll be able to find the information there as well. And a few updates for the Upper Yarra. There's quite a few things happening in the area this month as well. Let's get started. So we have the Upper Yarra Landcare Group having a planting session this Sunday, the 7th of August, from 9:30 a.m. till 12 p.m. at ECOS. So if you think about like doing some planting in the area, go down to ECOS this Sunday from 9:30 till 12 p.m. do some planting with the Upper Yarra Landcare Group. There's a Parent Carers Educator webinar of how to be an ally for the LGBTQIA plus teen. It's online. It's on the Tuesday, the 9th of August, so next Tuesday from 7 p.m. till 8:30 p.m. To find out more, go to the council website and search parents on the council website. You can see all information there about parenting information there as well. There is the Reset and Restore workshops run by the Voices of Women. These are, if you're keen to offer your rangers the opportunity to our community to enjoy a gentle session, connecting with nature and each other, and enjoying delicious food and sharing a space in a community setting, this was for you. So it's about sharing your women's experiences and getting us a chance to reset and restore. So the workshop is in Coldstream on the 13th of August, from 12:45 to 4 p.m. To find out more, just search Reset and Restore at the council website. And there's a few grants opening up if you haven't heard of before, but we have the Community Recovery Committee grants that are open up now. So for the Upper Yarra, that is the Upper Yarra Community Recovery Committee, up to $10,000 you can apply for resilience and recovery initiatives. To find out more, go to the council website and just search grants, and you'll find all information there about the council grants there. But a great opportunity. Those grants close for the Upper Yarra on the 22nd of August. And lastly, we have our town trip, our community houses. So we have a Seville, Warri, and in Yarra Junction as well. Some great community houses have weekly lunches and activities, cuppas, teas, lots of activities. So if you want to find out more, you can search community houses on the council website and find out all community houses in your area. But that's us for the month. Thank you for joining us today for the show. Hope you enjoyed it, and we'll hear you again next month, first Wednesday of the month from 2 to 3 p.m.
This is Yarra Valley FM and 99.1.